Right now, by the grace of the gods of Skype, we'll see. It's time for David Terachuk and the Media Beat. David, of course, joins us on a Friday morning. We rebroadcast it on the weekend and also in our noontime block. He is, of course, got his own website, themediabeat.us. You can find him also blogging on Huffington Post. He's also a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. Good morning, David. Uh-huh. I figured this would happen. We do not have David. There is something askew. I have no idea what it could be. But we're going to try to reach him this way. Oh, lordy, lordy. Let's see if we can even hear this ring. There we go. It should work. There he is. Good morning, David.
I'm here, and I'm so glad to be joining you from the media capital of the world, where you'd think communications would be easy, right?
Well, not when it involves Skype.
I noticed how punctilious NPR reporting usually is, and they make a particular point, because they have to, because it's in the contract, of saying if they've reached an interviewee by Skype, they have to say so.
Oh, yeah.
On air.
Oh, no.
I'm glad that we don't have to, because we're often just not connected by Skype, aren't we?
That's it. I long for the days of the real good old-fashioned solid telephone lines.
Well, they're still available to us. They're remarkably good quality, Marshall. You should try them sometimes.
I have one at my house. My brother has got a cell phone for his regular phone, and half the time you can't reach him. But anyways, that's a horse of a different color. We can't not talk about what happened in Washington this week. I did not watch the live presidential broadcast or the live rebuttal.
You know, that was the first one from the Oval Office by this president. It was a very signal day. I'm surprised you weren't there to witness history.
I watched it. I witnessed it the next day, and then I posted on my Facebook page my one-word reply to both the president and to Chuck and to Nancy Pelosi. On the president, uninspiring was what I would call his first appearance from the White House on TV. And Chuck and Nancy show, it was more the same. It was just, you know.
Well, both broadcasts were more of the same. Oh. And it flew entirely in the face of the very special nature that those broadcasts are meant to have. The president requesting time from the networks and giving an address from the Oval Office. It's a rare and allegedly very important occasion. They only agree to do it, the networks, if they are convinced by the White House that it is such a special occasion. And in this case, nothing new was announced. It flies entirely in the face of the, how many times have we said this during the Trump presidency? It entirely flies in the face of normal precedent. But this is not a normal president, and therefore no normal precedents don't take any real place in this fandango of performances that we get out of this particular Oval Office.
You know, if I was a Democratic Party, and I would have let the leadership, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, have input on what's said, of course, but I would have put up a couple of the bright young women who were just elected, maybe Kamala Harris from the Senate, who's been in there, and one of the young women that's been elected to the Congress, and have them give the reply.
Now, that would be news, wouldn't it? That would be warranted. That would be in keeping with the notion of this being a very, very important communications opportunity. As it was very much a damp squib from both sides.
Yeah, it was, you know, both sides had an opportunity to break ice with the public and get away from what's been going on for the past 30 months. And it's gotten so out of whack, David. I'm just, amazed. You know, what was it, 6 months ago when progressive like me were really upset with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi because they were going to agree to $25 billion, folks, not five, for border security in exchange for DACA. where we thought they were giving away much too much. And now that's been completely lost, that the Republicans had within their grasp $25 billion for border security and turned that down. Never mind the last one that they turned down. I'm talking about the one 6 months ago for $25 billion was turned down by the Republicans.
Sure, memories are short in this business, clearly. And what we've got now, of course, is just everything boiling down to the most ridiculous of semantic mm-hmm. battles between what exactly does a wall mean, in the full knowledge that solid 30-something percent base support for Donald Trump are absolutely convinced that it's important that they did and continue to take the president literally and seriously about that word wall. Well, now whether it's concrete or steel is immaterial, but the idea of the physical barrier being the important element of this whole debate is reduced in it's all its starkness now to that very simple word, wall.
So here's my question. Is everybody yes. paying attention? Is everybody's ears pointed?
Bated breath is a term.
Yeah. You caught my attention.
Be afraid. All right.
That pointed little intervention, yes, but with no particular actual point yet. What's your point?
Was it ever thus?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I'm really, really, I'm trying to figure that out because there are, I mean, forgetting the fact that you've got the you've got the Brexit debacle, which is sort of watching, the avalanche has already consumed the town as it's coming down the slope. So
it's the same thing here, but
exactly.
Except here, there really was an out. There was an out months ago, and it was just completely flown over.
There was an out there months ago, but let that pass. The Gilets Jaunes. Which is not getting the coverage that it deserves, but mostly because of, I don't know why it's not getting the coverage. Coverage is so
Britain
reactive.
Both Britain and France are not getting much coverage here anyway.
Of course, of the
wall controversy.
Right. So we've got
controversy, whichever way you like.
Either way, say controversy.
European style or American style.
All right. So I mentioned those three things. We've got wall. We've got Gilets Jaunes, and we've got Brexit. So. Now, meanwhile, two things happened this week that if one were to play Connect the Dots, one would have to sort of at least question them. And the first is, and it's totally, it was in the news for a day, now it's gone, that young woman, whose name escapes me at the moment, who was last seen in Thailand, who had fled her... parents
in Saudi Arabia,
right.
Sure.
And not enough people know.
Having renounced Islam and fearing for her life, looking for asylum ultimately in Australia, but deplaning in transit in Thailand, ended up having her passport taken away from her and at real risk, and very pluckily. Barricading herself in her hotel room and proclaiming her case through social media. And now it seems that Australia is going to seriously consider giving her asylum. It's an extraordinary development.
And
I agree.
And it's an extraordinary case because, while obviously it's not part of our culture, honor killings, you just had one in New York right around Marshall's birthday when those two young women were found in the East River. Hudson, bound in duct tape, and it gets zero play. But the fact is, it's a feature. And then the other thing that's just emerged, that's getting drowned out, and that's here, is that my birthday sake, the richest man in the world, just got himself caught up in something that, in my view, he should have known better. And
do you really think he cares?
Yes.
I see. I don't. I just don't think Jeff Bezos cares. Bezos. I don't think he cares.
Well, whatever. We won't know.
Or else I won't cares. to him, it's not an important factor whether or not it comes out. I'm not going to say he doesn't care. He is right now riding a crest that is consuming other things, and I think he just didn't matter to him.
That's conceivable. A large amounts of money in your pocket do tend to get you a little nonchalant about things that might concern lesser mortals.
Before they happen. Yeah, before they happen. Once they happen, all of a sudden, you're concerned about losing that big sum of money in your pocket.
People
get that invincible feeling, and politicians have it, and very wealthy people, obviously, have it. They just this feeling of being untouchable.
Gentlemen, yes, but I'm not talking about that bit. I'm talking about the fact that he has now joined the ranks of the he had previously been not a member of that club. He has now joined the ranks of the so many people we know who have joined the Scandal Club. That's all.
Scandal. If we were all to live our lives on the front page, I think we would all have reason to be worried. And of course, if you're sensible, you do what my grandmother always used to say. You know, if you don't want it appearing on the front page of your hometown newspaper, just don't do it. Just the option of just don't do it doesn't occur to people when they're in positions Marshall was saying, of considerable power, whether it be political or financial. It happens with all sorts of people. And indeed, you know, I don't think, although it's predominantly a male inclination, I don't think it's entirely a male inclination.
I don't think it is either. I think it's actually pretty well spread across the let's call it a gender spectrum. I'm just inventing something. But what I'm saying is
the gender spectrum. No, I think that's a good invention.
Thank you. But my point is that neither of these two things are really in the paper.
Well, it's
if you want to read about them, you can.
Yeah, I just think that right now you can't. The media, and I'm not talking about, I give up, I'm not talking about the televised media. But the print media has to devote right now a lot of time, simply because when you have something that affects 800,000 people, and it shows the total dysfunction of your government, and the amazing inability of the government to govern and be true politicians, I think, unfortunately, In the print media and in conservative and liberal bastions, they're all very concerned about that. I mean, it's very important the fact that people realize really how ineffective our government has become in governing.
One of the things that's perfectly clear from this is if you put people in charge who don't really believe in government, then this is what happens to government.
That's exactly people who don't understand politics, Dave. Politics is not for everybody, and it seems like we've opened up Pandora's box where people who have just one topic get into politics, and all of a sudden, that leads to what we have now.
Well,
gridlock.
This is my frustration. Excuse me. This is the reason it's my frustration is because there is a veritable ton of, can't use the word, that is not being covered because everybody gets all one-noted. You would actually think that there is nothing else going on.
Well,
that's hugely frustrating.
That's something we complain about just about every week. I mean, the crowding out of a range of news by one single major topic. Now, I'm going to say that I agree with Marshall that this particular topic, the closure of or partial closure of the United States government on this single point of dispute between the president and the new House Democrat majority is a really, really important story. We're not going to get away from that. But I'm also with you in thinking, Jill, that that it simply has not. It's got no reason to be the only thing we talk about in the media. And that's, of course, what is the case in the vast majority of our popular media entirely.
You know, it goes to the media, always goes to the fact, like when you look at the closed meeting between the Democrats and the Republicans and the president, the first thing that came out of that meeting was what? And it's something that the president wanted to come out because he'd much rather have people thinking about the shutdown rather than the Russia investigation. But the first thing that was announced out of that meeting, that closed meeting between Democrats and Republicans and the president, was what? That the president slammed his hand on the table, got up and walked out. And that is Donald Trump from his reality TV show. He got exactly what he wanted. He got that press.
But more, this is the part that rather unhinges me, because then you had people saying, well, that didn't happen. And then it's
right. Meanwhile, no slamming of the table. President.
But that's exactly what he wanted to have happen.
I understand, but that is my point. So we've got that. We're watching this. Nobody appears to be covering anything. I mean, I'm exaggerating when I say no one's. But how do you televise a negotiation? I mean, just stepping back, if possible, from this issue for a moment, how are you supposed to televise a negotiation?
Well,
it's happening behind closed doors.
Yeah, I knew either televise it or indeed write about it in print.
Right.
When you don't, you have to resort to the same tactics. It's a lot more difficult on television because you don't have images to go with you, with the material. But you've got to probe into what each side are intending to do, what you manage to discover from fly in the wall. Second-hand testimony happened inside the actual meeting between the parties, and then afterwards you got to work out work out with both parties and observers what the next likely steps are. Everybody's trying to do that, but we can see how impossible it is with this particular cast of characters.
I just think that the networks have got to do something radical, and that is, if you want to cover something long form, it's like here on the radio station here. If we want to cover something long form, we will dedicate certain hours of the day to that. But we will have other hours that have lots of other things in it. And I think that, you know, we're wasting 24 hours of cable news network time on MSNBC, on Fox, on all these news channels, where you can cover these things long form, but do it with special programming that might last an hour, and then interspace it with 2 hours of real worldwide news, go back to it for an hour for the breaking story. I mean, there's ways that it can be done, but it seems like networks are afraid.
That's a good idea. I mean, you two both know my favorite phrase from the BBC World Service, those precious words, and now other news.
Yeah. So
if we could institutionalize that somehow, and say, yeah, you know, we're the Trumpery is off limits for the next hour, and we're going to give you the rest
right.
of the world.
And that wouldn't be
a bad idea at all.
And everyone, by the way, every one of those, you know, no matter what your partisan position or which territory you've staked out for your, political department, every one of those stations could do that.
They're terrified that they lose revenue by doing that.
But if everybody,
nobody wants to be the first one to make the move.
Of course,
but
not.
I mean, I know there's a gut feeling amongst journalists that wouldn't it be nice just to do some other stuff concentratedly for a while,
instead of paying all these talking heads to come in on panel discussions that last for 3 shows in a row, and they have the same guests on basically rotating for 3 hours in a row. Take some of that money, get rid of some of those paid experts, and get yourself some news bureaus where you can actually put on news. And you know what? It would be a lot better. That way you could get your fill of what's going on in Washington or any story that might be a story that the media likes to grab onto. But you can also then get the perspective of finding out, gee, there's other things going on in this country and this world that are also important.
Or or I'm all for that. The other thing would be to make it mandatory, which of course no one would do, to have on your panel, your oversized panel, someone who an actual expert, so to speak, or forget that word, someone well versed on the other elements of whatever the discussion is. That would be another way of sort of leavening this lunacy.
Yeah, one of the things that contribute to this lunacy continuing, however, of course, is something that's a little amorphous but very, very strong, and that's an institutional matter. It's the herd mentality of the journalists themselves, and you're going right to the very top. What's the answer to this problem? You know, it's not quite instinctive, but it's certainly deeply conditioned. The answer to the question, how do we deal with this immediate crisis or apparent crisis? Let's expand the panel. Let's get more voices in. that is the herd mentality. Don't veer off the subject for 1 minute. Because, the other side will...
You might miss something, right.
...will clobber us with their bigger, noisier panel.
But can I just... And I remind anyone who will listen about... As often as you say, and now now in other news, I say this to anyone who will listen. People, the exact same commercials for drugs and one insurance company are on... No, in every break, on every one of these channels. There's no, it's like you have...
Pretty much, yeah.
Eczema or whatever, I can't think of, And I personally would like to give up radio and become a drug namer.
We're locked in situ. That's the trouble. And it will need some brave soul to break out of this pattern, which is reinforced by the herd mentality. People don't want to break ranks because they're terrified, of course, of losing revenue. And losing the viewership that sustains that revenue.
And I'm going to wrap up by saying, and David, was it ever thus?
It has been ever thus, but it is much more exaggerated now.
To show you how boring these panel conversations are and last with, on CNN the other night, there was Anna Navarro and there was this other guy. And this one guy went on and kept interrupting everybody. And Anna Navarro really did something that symbolizes she took out a nail file.
Was doing her nail, but they were disagreeing. And so then that was edited, and then that was put on other networks. Yeah. And what I'm saying is, depending on who's watching what, that moment is taken. And so you've got someone who's like, oh gosh, bore me now. So you've got that lot. And then... Oh, how insulting. You've got that department.
And of course, you've got the president saying, God damn, why didn't I do that?
That's right. Exactly.
Banging the table.
All right. I should have done that. All right. Thank you very much. David Tereshchuk, The Media Beat.
Thank you.
And of course, David joins us every Friday morning live, and we rebroadcast. David, you can also find him 24 hours a day at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on The Media Beat with David Tereshchuk.